The NBA has a timeline, potentially, for coming back. We might actually have dates. It's the Friday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
John Corrales here of MassLive.com, welcoming you back to another edition of the Locked On Celtics podcast, and thanking you for making this show part of your daily routine. I'm going to pause the deep dive back through Celtics history because we have actual news. So this Friday podcast, actual news, because there was a tweet from Spencer Dinwiddie who said he saw somebody else tweet that, hey, June 21st, the NBA is coming back. And he said, oh, that's just practice. July 15th is when games come back. Which, wow, hello, we might actually have a timeline for the NBA to return. Mark Stein quote tweeted Spencer Dinwiddie and said, yeah, this is about right. This is about what we've been hearing. This show is sponsored by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first order. You'll get the best tasting protein bar on the market. Covered in chocolate, high protein, low calories, low carbs, low sugars. Just the protein that you want without all the extra stuff. And it tastes great. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first purchase. So next week, Monday, we'll pick back up with the 2000s and the hiring of Danny Ainge. But with this news, I kind of want to go through what all of this might mean. So let's start at the beginning. We have the potential here now for a timeline. I don't know if it's going to be June 21st, but let's say approximately. I don't know if it's going to be July 15th, but let's say approximately. So the NBA will give its players a few weeks to get back into shape. Guys now have time. They have a month to say, okay, we're going to start ramping things back up. There was a recent report that the league has given its teams a heads up to start recalling guys. Guys have had permission to go back home. So Kemba Walker actually went back to Charlotte. And Grant Williams is living with him in Charlotte. So they're just chilling out in Charlotte, doing whatever they're doing. Now the teams have been told, let's, you know, get these guys together, start, you know, give them the heads up that you're going to start soon. So they're not caught by surprise. There's a few weeks leeway. So guys have the opportunity to get themselves together, get back from wherever they are, get their minds right, start, you know, ramping up whatever training it is that they're doing and prepare to return for some resumption of NBA basketball. So that's number one. Shams Charania reported on Thursday that the NBA is working with partners, private partners, for gathering COVID-19 testing. They are now preparing for the eventuality that there's a season that's going to resume. And there's going to be a league-wide testing program for coronavirus, COVID-19. They're working with a bunch of companies to get their tests. So let's dive into that first, because this is the biggest thing, the biggest hurdle the NBA has when it returns, if it ultimately does. How can the NBA justify testing all of its players when testing isn't fully available for everybody who might need it? Well, now we're at this flattening of the curve. We're hopefully, if people don't screw it up, we're hopefully starting to get into this phased return to some level of normalcy, slowly, taking our time. I think it might be too soon, personally, but if they do it and they do it right and people don't screw it up, there's the potential for this to slowly, we're going to potentially slowly get back into things. How does the NBA justify the testing thing? Well, part of it is it's not the NBA's responsibility to test Americans. It's the government's responsibility to test Americans. And frankly, if the NBA is able to get its season back together with privately purchased tests, then that demonstrates a failure on local, state, federal governments for being unable to test people. And wherever you personally want to assign that blame, there's a lot of blame to go around. Testing should be widely available. Testing should be widely available to everybody free of charge. If you've got symptoms, if you've potentially come in contact, you should be tested so you can get this caught early and be treated. There are treatments. And I know because on my at Mass Live, I've been doing some news reporting, and I know that some of these treatments are especially effective if they're administered early. Regardless, it's up to the government to test people. And if they fail, then now you're putting that responsibility on the NBA to sit and wait for these jerks in government on both sides of the aisle to do something. Put the pressure on these guys to do something. The NBA has this plan for potentially safely putting this thing together. I'll get to that in a second. Now, the NBA can and maybe should do this and do this the right way by purchasing twice as many tests. Whatever they purchase for the league, purchase that same amount and donate it to the local government. So if they are in Orlando, Disney World, which seems to be the leader in the clubhouse, they should, if they need, I don't know what the number is, 15,000 tests, buy 30,000 and say, we're using 15,000. Here's 15,000 for you guys. So we're not taking 15,000 away from you. Here's 15,000 for the city of Orlando, the state of Florida, to test. So whatever we get, we're going to make sure it's clear. We're not taking any tests away from people. And we're going to donate this. I think that's a great solution. So the NBA can continue its progression towards resuming the season and doing business the way they should and making sure local people aren't affected. That local governments, there's no perception of, hey, the NBA is taking 15,000 tests away from Florida. No, the NBA, if it didn't show up here, it's giving 15,000 tests from to Florida, to Orlando. If the NBA didn't show up, those tests wouldn't exist. We're adding 15,000 tests to that area. I think that's a good solution. Now, why Florida? Why Orlando? Why Disney? In a minute, I'm going to talk about why that seems like a good plan and why they seem to be able to safely resume. Safety is number one. At the beginning of all of this, if they can't do this safely, then they shouldn't do it at all. That's the overarching caveat to the resumption of basketball. If you can't guarantee that you are doing this safely, that you are protecting everybody involved and making sure that this isn't spreading to wherever, then if you can't guarantee that stuff, don't do it. That's coming up in a minute. First, I want to implore you to go visit BuiltBar.com, where you'll find the best tasting protein bars on the market. Built Bar makes their protein bars differently than everybody else. They're soft, they're chewy, they're covered in chocolate. They do not have the added sugars, the added carbs, all that added junk that's going to ruin your workout, ruin your diet, ruin what you're trying to do by eating healthy and having a protein bar, maybe as a meal replacement or as a supplement to the working out that you're doing.
If you're going and running or going and lifting or doing a home workout, push-ups, whatever, and then you reach for one of those other protein bars and you're adding all those calories back in, what's the point? If you're adding a bunch of sugar, if you're adding a bunch of carbs, what's the point? You want to go to a Built Bar. Built Bar, soft, chewy, delicious, and you're going to get 15, 18, 20 grams of protein with less than 200 calories. Low sugar, low carbs. Nut-free options if you've got an allergy. Gluten-free options if you've got gluten sensitivity. It's all right there for you. Compare the labels. You don't even have to buy anything. Go to BuiltBar.com, look at the label, compare the labels. Then you're going to want to go back to BuiltBar.com and sign up and buy a Built Bar box, a variety, or one of the delicious flavors that they have. You're going to use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first purchase. The promo code LOCKEDON gets you $10 off your first purchase at BuiltBar.com.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
So back to the NBA's return, potentially, with practices resuming at the end of January, about a month from now, and games potentially resuming on July 15th or so. The plan, apparently, seems to be progressing towards Orlando, Disney World. Now, shout out to Keith Smith. He laid this all out on Yahoo.com. Why Disney? Why does this work? Why does it seem to work? Well, again, the priority here, number one, if you're going to do this, everybody's got to be safe. So that means testing everybody when they come in, controlling the environment, and then making sure nobody gets sick, or doing your best to prevent people from getting sick, and then taking the precautions where if anybody shows a symptom, they can be tested. So Orlando, Disney World, that becomes a prime location, more so than Las Vegas. And I didn't know the details of Disney. I didn't even think about it when I was pushing the Vegas plan. I think Disney's a much better plan because it's a giant, I mean, giant location. If you've ever been to Orlando and driven through that area, you'll know just how vast it is. There is room for them to accommodate all of the people that need to be accommodated. Players, coaches, staff, people who work, media members putting on the shows, maybe some family members, wives, kids. They can all be accommodated in this vast, basically, city within the city of Orlando. Disney owns Orlando. Like, so much so that the power lines, the supports are like Mickey Mouse shaped. Like, seriously. So you get the tests. Like I said, however many tests you buy for the league, buy as many tests, that amount of tests, donate it to the city and the state. So you're making sure you're adding value. You're adding tests to that area. You're making sure that you're not taking anything away. You test everybody going into this quote unquote bubble. All of the NBA players, staff, everybody, all of the support staff, the Disney employees, everybody, you go in there, you live there. So bring your loved ones. According to Keith Smith, a lot of the people who work at Disney are used to this. This is a unique situation. People will be employed, paid well. So you do this and you make sure that you've tested everybody. Everything's clean. Everything's been disinfected. You're starting with a completely clean slate, like a literal clean slate. You now have an area where people can live somewhat normal lives. Deliveries come in, get disinfected. Food is prepared by people who live on the property and all of that stuff. Players can go to where games, practices. There are facilities that can accommodate everybody.
And now you have this ability to put a product together in a controlled environment where everybody should be healthy. Now you still have to test. You could do like the temperature checks, whatever it is that you can get the, like the initial, hey, this person seems asymptomatic, but here's a red flag. You still do all of that stuff. You find a way to quarantine people. Now this is one of the side effects. If somebody gets sick, if this impacts somebody, and I know this is one of the problems, but if Jason Tatum gets coronavirus somehow when he's there, then he's out for 2 weeks. And you have to treat it like he pulled a hamstring or something, which would suck, but that's how you have to treat it, and you quarantine him. So there's added kind of incentive for players to not screw around. Not that they could, but you want to make sure that you're preventing that as much as possible. I think this plan could work. I'm going to reiterate, safety is the top priority. If anybody gets sick and passes it along and someone's family member gets sick, or worse, ultimate disaster for the NBA, and if there's any risk of that, you cannot do this. You just can't. And I don't know. It may be that that risk is so great that we could still get to a point where, I mean, we're talking about a month from now for practices to start. We could still, between now and then, get to a point where it's too much of a risk. We can't do it. But I still think that right now, progressing towards that, it's worth it. It's worth it for the league. It's worth it for the players. We're talking about this from a business perspective. Got to remember that. The entertainment value is great. There is value to the United States to provide an entertainment. People love sports. It would be great to have live sports to talk about, to get our minds off of things, to focus on and have some fun, get some normalcy for our mental health. That would be great, but that's kind of secondary. This is important as far as the league, the players, trying to provide for not just the rich owners, not just the rich players, but how about the lower level coaches, staff members who don't get paid a lot of money, the NBA staffers who don't get paid a ton of money. How about people like me, the media members who don't get paid a ton of money? I'm sorry to say it, but like, I'm not getting rich. I'm not buying a private island off of my writing salary. That's just not going to happen for any sports writer, you know, unless you're Woj. But that's just the reality of things. We all know it. That's fine. It's fine. But at the same time, there are hundreds, thousands of people around the NBA sphere in that solar system that our livelihoods depend on these games being played. And I don't even have to be there. If it's safer for me to cover this remotely, fine. Okay, I'll deal with it for now. But give me a league to cover. Give America games to watch. Give the people who depend on this league for their livelihoods the opportunity to work, come off unemployment, be self-sufficient. If you can do it safely and virtually guarantee people's safety by putting everyone in a bubble, keeping them tested, keeping them safe, having these protocols in place, then go for it. You can do it. Now, what about the product? Interesting things can happen with the product. I'll talk about that in a second.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Orlando provides this unique opportunity for the NBA to put a product out there that we've never seen before. And this might be the most exciting thing just from a pure basketball perspective. I think with the facilities that are available, and they have these huge hangar type facilities, multiple places where a court can be put together and the players can be situated
you know, sitting on the sidelines just as normal. But without the fans, now we have the potential for cameras, all sorts of cameras. You can build risers to put cameras up high so you get the normal view. But then you could put these jibs. If you don't know what a jib is, it's like a big arm with a camera at the end that can kind of swoop down. If you ever watch like the Today Show and they do the concerts and you have that big swooping camera angle that goes over the crowd and onto the stage, that's on a jib. You can put four of them, six of them out there, have them sweeping all over the place. You could have drones. You can have robotic cameras. You can do anything you want. You can put anything you want out there. Now, this is an opportunity for the NBA because not only can you put together, let's say on ESPN, which Disney owns, on ESPN, you have, let's say, Celtics Sixers, traditional broadcast. You've got your riser cameras, you got your cameras on the baselines, the normal broadcast. But now on ESPN2, you have the other cameras. And you can still use the announcer audio from the ESPN because it's the same announcer, it's the same thing. Like you can now put those announcers over the unique camera angles, or you can get other announcers if you want. Doesn't matter. You can put a secondary set of announcers. You just do an entirely second set of broadcasts, but that is your drone angles, your low angles, your jibs, your whatever stuff that I can't even conceptualize. Virtual reality, 360 degree stuff. Anything you can possibly imagine. You can put that on ESPN too. Now, Celtics Sixers has two channels broadcasting it. Now, somebody like me, I'd probably have two screens up watching both at the same time, but maybe some people who wouldn't have watched will watch one for curiosity. And maybe that one is terrible in general, but there's two or three things in that broadcast that can make it into a regular broadcast, and now you've revolutionized how a game is broadcast. That's the opportunity here. You have one completely experimental broadcast. And the announcers can say that. Hey, we're trying a lot of new things. So if you want the regular thing, you can go to ESPN. There's an option for you. Go for it. But stick around here because we're going to try some crazy stuff. And maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. But who knows? Maybe it does. So that's a complete trial and error. And second broadcast, another set of advertisers, another set of commercials, a little more money coming into the league. That's all possible. If they're able to do all of this, I think, and back to Dinwiddie's tweet, five or so regular season games, I think that's good. You kind of get almost like a sort of preseason, but it allows some of the seeding to work out. So you're not diving right into the playoffs. Then you get into the playoffs, you play your full playoffs, you make sure that you've gotten seven games, and it doesn't matter what next season, how that's impacted. First of all, what matters is if you can get seven game series throughout the playoffs and execute that, do it safely, then you've recouped a lot of the money that you might have lost, which means maybe the league can say, hey, next year's cap is going to drop a little, but by not much. Or they can say, you know what? We've increased our credit line anyway. We're going to borrow now to say, we're going to keep next year's cap and tax line right where it was. We've recouped enough to keep it right where it was. That's unlikely, but let's just pretend. And then in 2 or 3 years, we're going to kind of use whatever increase might have been 2, 3 years from now to pay off this artificial increase now. That would all have to be collectively bargained with the players association. But both sides would be open to it because teams won't be screwed by luxury tax and the cap dropping. Players won't be screwed by the percentage deals like if you've got a 25% max, like Jason Tatum, who's going to be given the 25% max rookie extension, he's not going to get crushed by the salary cap right now. And you know that in 3 or 4 years, like we're telling you right now, in 4 years, that number is going to be lower than it might have been because we're keeping this one high. There's financial incentive for all of that. So the league could recoup a lot of its money. The players can recoup a lot of their money. This is really going to impact a lot of the lower level players as well, because that allows these guys who are making $2, $3, $4 million to keep making that kind of money. Now, why isn't next season as important as you might think? Because if we're looking at a second wave of COVID-19, if that's coming during flu season, well, you start this season in July, you go through August, September, maybe you crown a champion at the beginning of October. Flu season is beginning. If there's a second wave of COVID-19, the NBA is in its off season. So they can say, look, October, November, we're targeting December 25th. We're going to start on Christmas. If this is a second wave, we're not missing anything right now. Free agency is going to be impacted a little bit. We're going to have to limit workouts and stuff like that, but we can still have our off-season calendar run while the worst of this second wave is happening. Now, at that point, by the end of December, maybe January, we've already heard Dr. Fauci talk about this is about the time where a vaccine might come in. So if a vaccine is available, you're just kind of playing the odds. It's a gamble. Maybe you get delayed a little bit more. But if you're canceling some regular season games and pushing your calendar off a little bit, it's worth for the NBA to kind of mess with their calendar for 2 or 3 years, 4 years, in order to come back around the time a vaccine is available. If everybody gets a vaccine, now you can start putting people into arenas. Because if there are vaccines and treatments, then you can put people in arenas again. And if 40% of league revenue comes from the gate, putting people in seats is super important. So by pushing the season along, by playing a full playoffs, and by pushing an off season into the fall and winter, then you can wait to see if a second wave comes, wait to see what the treatments are, wait to see if there's a vaccine, and then you can start coming back. If you're lucky, if everything works out, if the timing all works out, best case scenario, a vaccine is available around December or January. Now, a readily available vaccine means people can get it. People can go to games. If somebody still happens to catch it, you can go get tested to see if you have it. You get your treatment, you'll be okay. Then at that point, it becomes about like the flu. And that's kind of where you need it to be. So if the NBA doing business gets to that point and can adjust its calendar for at least 1 year to kind of deal with that, financially beneficial. Then you work on eventually working your calendar back, or unless they figure out a way, if that's how they want to keep their calendar, then that's how they want to keep their calendar. Maybe that's just how it is forever. I don't know, but that's something you can worry about moving forward. But to me, this is how it all lines up. I'm going to reiterate, safety is number one. No one should get sick because of this, or worse. If there's a risk of that, then don't come back. Then it becomes just money and you got to deal with it. Sorry. If there's a risk, but if you can control that and bring that risk to basically zero, and if you have a one-off, if you have an unlikely situation where somebody gets it, if you're testing and vigilant, and you can isolate that person and quarantine that person and trace who that person was next to, then for the team, it gets treated like an injury. You know, it sucks that it's this, but it would have sucked that someone sprained a knee. Like, you can't control that.
if you can isolate that person, treat that person, treat the people that that person might have been in contact with, if you make sure that nothing can spread, then good. If you can't do that, if you do not have a plan for that, then don't do this. Okay? And this is where the debate comes in. Maybe some of you think I'm a moron for this. That's fine. I'm not saying they absolutely should without penalty, without anything. Like they should be mindful of the risk and they should mitigate that risk to basically zero and have a plan for catching somebody early if they have it and making sure there are protocols in place to everywhere along the way, every delivery that comes in, everything that comes into that bubble is disinfected. Everything that the players touch is disinfected. Every player is tested. Everybody is in a position to be treated well and safely. Then they can do this and they can pull it off. The rest will work itself out. I believe that. We'll see. Tomorrow something could change. By the time you listen to this, something could change and it would change my opinion. It's all fluid. Right now, I see the possibility. I can see it unfolding and working. Maybe you can't, and that's fine. I can. And if they can do this, then great. Then we might have basketball back in a month, which would make me happy. Personally, it would make me happy. It would make everybody happy to have basketball back, right? And I'd be able to get back to covering basketball on a regular basis. On Monday, provided there's no added news, the deep dive into the Celtics history returns. Danny Ainge has been hired at this point. He will hire Doc Rivers. We've got a draft that's very interesting. We talk about brainwaves, a lot of stuff. That's coming up on Monday, provided there's no added breaking news. So please subscribe if you haven't. This is how it's going to go. If there is breaking news, I'm going to talk about it. And hopefully you've enjoyed this episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you're a subscriber, please give it 5-star rating and a good written review. Please also go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first purchase. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first purchase of the most delicious protein bar on the market. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.